Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out. Indecision. Overthinking. Second-guessing every choice you make. In. Plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out. Beige on beige on beige. Ugh. In. Knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Hey, it's Jim Costa with Cash the Ticket. Mike Valeni and I are all over the tournament again this March. Breakdowns of every region and every game, who are the Cinderellas, and which team's cutting down the nets. Subscribe and listen to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app, wherever you get your podcasts.
Sports Radio 610 presents Seth Payne and Sean Pendergast.
We coming to H time. Let's get the work in, man. Let's go.
Great day. Great day. Oh, give me some juice, baby.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, what's happening, everybody? Happy Wednesday to all of you. Nice to be with you. Appreciate you getting up with us. We are with you until 10 a.m. this morning, and the Cam Smith era is officially here. How you doing, buddy?
I'm good, man.
I'm excited for the Cam Smith era. We better get that promo out of circulation where you and I are trying to determine the percentage chance that Cam Smith makes the club. I went in to talk to our boss about it, but he was in a meeting after the show yesterday. No.
That's awful.
I'm just saying I didn't handle it. It may be out of circulation now.
We run those promos for like a week. So, yeah, there's going to be a promo of me saying, I think there's a 40% chance Cam Smith starts on opening day.
Do I need to send an emergency text to our boss? Do we need to do that? A group text?
Is there any way for Ben to find out whether the promo's going to run or not?
Ben's out today. Byron's
in. Oh, that's right. Yeah, never mind, Byron. We're not going to ask you to do all that.
We'll put that on your plate. Byron's in. He's got his Roman Reigns hoodie on. He's ready to go, man.
I'll make Byron go in and delete it, though, if we find out that that's what it is.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Byron, be prepared. There may be a triage situation coming up here.
I'll be on standby.
All right. Good job.
So there's a 100% chance that Cam Smith will be on the roster opening day.
Yes.
Let's say 99.99 so we don't jinx it.
Right. Something happens today.
Or I get some blogger coming. Real baseball people know that there's a title 13 of the subsection A is that you could send them down to Sugar. Yeah.
Yep.
I'm excited about it. I was waffling a little bit at 6 a.m. yesterday morning, and then by about 6:04 a.m., you had convinced me that I was yellow and that I needed to embrace this with all the ferocity of a new recruit. Yeah, and I am ready to go. I'm here for it, man.
Good for radio, that's for sure. And I think it's good for the Astros. I'm not expecting his whatever his 1,200 OPS was in spring training to carry over into the regular season or anything. But if you get average right field play, like offensively I'm talking about, defensively is going to be a work in progress. I think everybody needs to probably pump the brakes a little, and I think everybody has. They know, like, he's not played, essentially, for all intents and purposes, has not played right field before. If he is an average to slightly above average offensive outfielder in his rookie year, that's going to be better than anything else you had on the roster out there or that you were planning for when you made all these moves to trade Kyle Tucker in the first place.
One thing, no matter whether it's relevant or not, that's exciting about this is that when he hit those two first home runs in spring training, who was it against? It's against the New York Mets.
That's right.
We had Jose Siri out there in center field. And so there's a little bit of familiarity there in that he's already faced the team wearing this uniform.
Yeah.
And with some of these same major league starters who were starting that day. So, he hasn't at one point looked at any bit like the moment was too big for him or that he's having trouble adjusting to the level of competition or anything like that. I don't think it's not like people are going to freak out if he doesn't have a good day offensively on day one or anything.
No.
But I'm also not going to be surprised if he has an incredible day on day one.
Yeah.
There's no book on him yet. There's not a whole lot of film for all the pitchers to break down and whatnot. So he might get some good pitches. And I'm predicting Over under 1.5 hits.
Oh, you're in daily fantasy mode right now.
Yeah, yeah.
I'll go under just because, you know.
Just because, yeah, that's hard to get. It's hard to get two
hits.
In any
major league game.
Yeah, I'm a horrible handicapper, but I'm optimistic as hell as an Astros fan.
Do you have an app that I can subscribe to, Seth? I think I might bankrupt your app.
Like, I'm going to take these guys out. Oh, no.
Sorry, prize picks. I'm doing pain picks. Yes.
I know. That is my blind spot with daily fantasy is I am a homer. Hardcore homer. This is how I go into all. This is how I go into all of my daily fantasy plays.
Yeah.
I'm like, I say, all right, listen, I know I'm being a homer, but what's realistically the best thing that's gonna, who is probably gonna perform the best, and then which players from the opposing team are gonna probably play the worst. But I'm putting myself at a disadvantage right there. Instead of looking at the whole board and finding out what genuinely is the best, I handicap myself when I handicap.
No, like, and there's nothing, I don't know, there's nothing more energy sapping than betting less than on your own guys.
I don't like it.
Yeah, it's not fun.
Especially when I read my picks on the radio.
Yes.
I'm like, to our listeners, I got to tell you, everybody, listen, pump the brakes on Cam Smith. I'm taking less than on all of these.
All of them. Here was Cam Smith last night. Cam Smith in the dugout after he learned the news that he'd made the Major League Ball Club, a back and forth, short back and forth with the media.
Yeah, I always thought it was possible. You know, I think I had a great group of guys around me to help me out to get here today. So I always saw it as a possibility, you know, for it to happen. And, you know, we're here today talking about it now. So I'm very blessed.
I know this is very emotional for you, but just the special nature of having your mom deliver that. You said you broke down, but what kind of, can you just take us through the idea that she would be the one, after all she did for you, to tell you that you made the major leagues?
Yeah, I mean,
okay.
You know, at one point it was just me and her in the house. She struggled to take me to baseball games and practice, and I'm just happy to do it for her.
All right, so that was Cam very emotional about his mom, who we had a chance to meet briefly down at spring training.
Yeah, and I remember when we met his mom, it was when he was, you know, it was the day he hit those two home runs.
Yes.
We met her in the parking lot. We were walking past a group of women who were trying to take a selfie in front of the Astros logo out in front of Cacti Park. And one of them said, "My arms aren't long enough." And I said, "Hey, I'll take that picture for you." And we
got to
chat with him.
Yeah.
Lo and behold, it sounds kind of creepy when we put it that way. Hey, ladies, I got long arms.
Long arms, long legs, long.
The appendages are. Yeah. So it wasn't like that. I said, "Hey, I'll take the picture for you." And we got chatting with him, and lo and behold, it was Cam Smith's mom and grandma and one of their family friends, I believe.
Yeah.
And in talking to his mom, at the time, she had seen a bunch of guff on social media about people who were down on the Kyle Tucker trade. Yeah. And she seemed like it, you know, she was worried a little bit about the Astros fan base reception of her son, mm-hmm. because they didn't seem all that high on Cam Smith, and they were very down, or at least the comments she was seeing were people that were down on the Kyle Tucker trade. I'm guessing that her experience on social media has changed a lot over the last few weeks.
I would think so, and especially in the last 24 hours when the video ran yesterday. I've never seen this done for a Major League Baseball player. Making the team. Now, admittedly, we get a lot more access to behind the scenes in this day and age than we ever have before. I would say more access during the Joe Espada year that he's been with the team than we got previously with the Astros. We get a lot of in the clubhouse stuff on social media from the Astros now, at least we have during spring training. They had Cam Smith's family there. It looked like his mom, what I'm guessing might be his stepdad or you know, her husband, whatever, either way. The grandmother was there, and it was a very emotional scene of Joe Espada announcing that Cam Smith had made the team. It got a lot of largely very good reaction on social media, mm-hmm. is what I saw to it. I mean, it is a cool thing that you don't get to see. I guess my question would be, and this is not to rain on the parade or anything, is I do wonder what the rest of the guys in the clubhouse were thinking that probably never had a video about them making the major leagues before.
It was a little bit of bringing in that college football dynamic of announcing that a guy gets a scholarship, except that you added on to it by having the family right there in the clubhouse. Yeah.
Well, and except that in those videos, typically, the team mobs the guy who got the scholarship.
That's where I think the unfamiliarity of the situation made it almost a little bit awkward to watch because there was a prolonged period of the mom walking towards the son, both of them crying, and it was just dead silent.
Yes.
And to the point where I was just, please, somebody start clapping. Could somebody start clapping or mob them? But I think the players are probably thinking, okay, I don't want to interrupt this moment of a guy with his mother.
We've literally never seen this before.
Yeah. Right, yeah. Everything was just a little bit different. Yeah. You know, you didn't quite know how to respond to it.
Yes.
Eventually they started clapping, but it was after a whole lot of crying, very, very audible, and dead silence everywhere else.
My biggest takeaway from that whole thing, because it was very emotional, and I thought it was obviously very cool. Like, this is a goal that this kid has had. He's achieved that goal well before anybody thought he would achieve that goal. Man, you learn the backstory of him and his mom and him just laying out there that, you know, single mom raising him, hard time even getting him to practice in games. I mean, it's really, really cool. My big thing was, like, you know who I want to just sit this one out today? All the people who wanted that fourth year of arbitration. Like, you know what? This is cool. Just sit. If you still feel that way, just sit today out. You know, just sit.
Yeah.
You can bring it up. If it starts to turn into something where it's even a question he should be on the team early in the season, bring it up then. But, man, this is just really cool to have Cam Smith make this baseball team.
I'll tell you what, though. I think that if you look at the long history of the Astros from the first year of Jeff Luhnow to now, I think in a lot of ways, the fact that Cam Smith is being elevated when he is a little bit of the way the organization has changed from being one that was so cold and calculating in many respects. And even after the team got good, there were still elements of the way they operated that I think chafed against some of the people, either in baseball or players themselves, where this is a way more, I guess... It's weird to say that elevating a minor leaguer this fast is old school because it's not the typical way of doing business. But they're not going to mess with a guy's service time strictly to try to get every last advantage over one of their own players. I mean, look, George Springer never forgot that they messed with his service time.
No, they didn't.
You know, that's
a lot of people point that out.
It's one of those things where you feel like, oh, all right, this is 100% a business. This feels way more human, and I think Dana Brown and being an old school baseball scout in a lot of ways is a lot different than Jeff Luhnow was as a completely non traditional baseball personnel.
I 1,000% agree with that part of it. Here, I do wonder if this team were forecasted to either be a 70 win team or a 100 win team, if Cam Smith would have made the club. I think the fact of the matter is now this is a team that's forecasted to win about 85 games that needs all hands on deck to win 85 or 90 games and win this division. He gives you the best chance to win right now out of all those guys. So, but that would have been the interesting part. If Jeff Luhnow were still the GM of this team and they were forecasted to be in a dogfight to win the AL West, would he have been
honestly, and that's not shade at Luhnow, he just operates a different way. I think he would look at it and try to make it completely about the math and the long-term health of the organization
100%.
And everything. And that, you know what, the long-term, what are we going to get out of him over the duration of his career? It makes more sense to just keep him down until we get that extra year of service time.
How are you guys feeling about it? 713-572-4610, the Jim Adler, the Texas Hammer text page. We'll read some of your texts as we roll on here. Well, obviously, Cam Smith, the big story here locally today. Coming up next, Stefon Diggs got what from the New England Patriots?
Woo!
Yeah, we'll dig into the Diggs
contract.
Get
a boy howdy out of me.
That's right.
We'll turn me into a crazy old man.
We'll get into that coming up next. All right, welcome back, Payne and Pendergast.
You're going to have to keep reeling me back in during the break. I've been looking up anonymous quotes from scouts on prospects. Not for this year, historically.
Yes.
And this is a rabbit hole you do not want to even... Don't even look at it, kids. Don't even look at it. I've been going back through anonymous scout quotes for the last from the last 15 years' drafts, and it's a blast. Now, some of the ones that are just on the nose and some of the ones that are wildly off, it's crazy.
So this is going to manifest itself in content today at 8 o'clock
yes.
when you have me guess who some of these anonymous quotes were about, right?
Yes, yeah.
Okay, we're going to do a little guessing game.
All on Texans players,
yes.
past and present. We're going to see if you can guess who the player is based on this anonymous scouts quote from anywhere from 2012 till the present.
That's yes. fun. And you can play along with us. I promise not to blurt out the answer. I'll let it marinate a little bit so people can think about it along with me, you know?
Sean, I might have to do a doctoral thesis on this stuff. It's fascinating.
Yeah.
I spent 15 minutes on Aaron Donald and he's not even in it. Not even in the segment we're doing today.
That I would love to hear. You know what? I don't know if you carved out those Aaron Donald quotes. Look, we got plenty of time between now and the draft. We can do this on non-Texans players. We can do it on current players in the whatever. You can do it however you want it. That is one player I would love to know what the scouts were saying about him, because he still went in the first round. He still went
right.
high in the draft. He went 13th overall to the Rams, but he got passed on by 12 other teams that, in retrospect, should have all taken him. Like that was the clowny draft. The Texans should have taken Aaron Donald to put alongside J.J. Watt.
There was a really cool one of the quotes, and I get them all from Bob McGinn because he's been doing this forever, and like nobody doubts that he's using actual quotes or anything. Like he's very plugged in. But that draft was, and the big thing was, it by far the consensus best player available by his survey of 21 different personnel people was Jadeveon Clowney, and then I think Khalil Mack might have been second after that. But Aaron Donald didn't get a single vote on out of any of them.
It's wild.
Because he's short, you see.
Should have gotten them all. I mean,
what short person could ever make it in professional athletics?
Yeah, exactly. Jose Altuve shaking his fist at the radio
yeah.
right now. Yeah, Stephon Diggs. Stephon Diggs, who our forecast on him had been anywhere from, well, maybe he'll get a, you know, 1 or 2 year deal for some decent money, to he might wait until training camp to sign with a team. We were all over the board with Stephon Diggs. He is a New England Patriot. The visit went yes. well last week, and especially when the final numbers. Now, I need to know more. The devil will be in the details with Stephon Diggs' contract. The tweet report of it probably looks a lot more exorbitant than the actuality of
There's
it.
There's no
for
probably
the
about it. Yeah,
yeah,
3 years, $69 million.
Yeah.
Like, whoa.
That pops.
Whoa.
That pops.
Mama.
Now,
yeah.
what do you think when I tell you that the reports alongside that are that it's $26 million guaranteed? Only about a third of it is guaranteed.
It sounds like $26 million guaranteed, and we'll see how much of that guarantee is actually a guarantee. That's a good chunk. For what I'm guessing is, in reality, a short. Sorry, I had an alarm going off here. I got confused. I'm guessing is a short-term contract. I'm guessing it's. I guess kind of like with the Texans, it might actually be a one-year deal.
Yeah.
But it's still a lot of guaranteed money.
Yeah.
And
that's more guaranteed. That's more guaranteed money than I thought you'd get.
Yeah, and I think that because if the Texans were to sign Stephon Diggs, my thought would have been that it would be after the draft, and it might be for something like what really was a one-year $15 million contract because yeah. he's 32 years old, coming off of a torn ACL.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I'm getting really good at this, though, Sean.
Mm.
This is the third time now where I've basically done a video on YouTube, and within 2 hours of me putting the video out, it's completely worthless
Obsolete.
And irrelevant. Yeah,
yep.
yeah. In which I say 7 things that have been proven wrong. Mm-hmm. I thought. Now, the Patriots themselves said that this was just a get-to-know-you meeting
yeah.
when they met with him earlier this week.
Yeah.
Apparently, they got to know him pretty well, and Stephon Diggs felt pretty good about him. The video of Stephon Diggs working out that he's put out on his own Instagram has been pretty impressive so far.
Yes.
For being less than 6 months removed from surgery, he looks like he's pretty far along. He's strong. He's moving quickly and moving well. And the biggest thing, I mean, the part of my video that I did that I and you and I talked about yesterday that is 100% true is, I think a lot of the narrative or the justified concerns about how is he going to operate with a young quarterback or whatever, given his history, you still have to acknowledge that he's had some dust-ups in the past with Josh Allen. But from the Houston Texans side of things, we saw nothing but a model citizen out of Stephon Diggs.
Yeah.
And I think that, however, like the way he conducted himself with a young quarterback on a struggling offense last year, I think the Patriots definitely looked into that. The Albert Breer article yesterday, which interviewed a couple of Texans coaches. Albert Breer has a lot of ties to guys who are in New England, and a lot of guys, the Texans coaches,
yeah,
were once
the
in New
article,
England.
Just the article said staffers, so that could have been anybody, I guess. But yes,
they
Texans.
Were. Yeah, there were a lot of Texans staff that were very, very positive about him. Said they thought that New England would be a great fit for him. So the word of mouth that anybody that Mike Vrabel or any of those other guys in the organization got from Texans people was probably really good.
Yeah, I think a couple things relative to the Texans on this deal. And again, if you're just getting in your car, Stephon Diggs gets 3 years, $69 million, $26 million guaranteed. Those are the reports from the New England Patriots. The percentage of guaranteed money versus the entire contract, probably lower than what's normal in the NFL right now, but just the total amount of guaranteed money, I think, is more than a lot of people thought Diggs would get. The two things I think of with the Texans, Seth, when it comes to this signing, one is, even with the low percentage of guaranteed money on this deal relative to the entire deal, I would not have wanted the Texans playing in this neighborhood with Stephon Diggs. 3 years, $69 million, $26 million guarantees. Just to me, it's too much guaranteed money for the Texans to be paying him. Now, Patriots are a team with a ton of cap space, so it's different for them than it is for the Texans to look at $26 million guaranteed, 3 years, $69 million, and say, "Yeah, this looks good." And they have a bigger need than the Texans even do. The Texans have a need at wide receiver, no question about that. But the Patriots don't even have a number one wide receiver right now, so there's a bigger need. My second thought with the Texans is this: I think this is good for the Texans. This is yet another guy who's come to the Texans and left for greener pastures than they were thought to have had available to them coming into the Texans. When Stephon Diggs got to the Texans, he was largely thought to be a problem child.
Yeah.
And he goes somewhere else and gets 3 years, $69 million. His 8 games plus a training camp, and I think a training camp plays a lot into this too with the leadership and everything. He was voted a captain by his teammates. So was Tunsil, but bear with me here. His one season in Texas did way more good than harm to his image. Like, this was a very cleansing stop for him along the way in his NFL journey, I think.
Yeah, it's interesting because it's almost... there's almost a dynamic there where it feels a little bit like compensatory picks work with losing free agents in the draft. With the Texans, they've now had several veterans come on one-year deals on a prove-it-year deal, and then the prove-it-year works out.
Yes.
And they get more elsewhere.
Yeah.
And it's good to be in that position where you can be the landing spot for guys that maybe had a down year for some reason, and then there you go. I mean, you know who's like that a lot is Cam Robinson, the left tackle. Because Cam Robinson was a dependable left tackle. Like, I would say above average, not really, really good or anything. But he was a capable starting left tackle for the Jaguars for a long time. He got traded as he was entering his free agency, or he got traded midway through the year to the Vikings. And on a new team, in a new scheme and everything else, he really struggled last year with the Vikings. So going into free agency where the last film on you is letting up 10 total pressures and a couple sacks in your last couple games, including a playoff game, that's not ideal. So he signs a one-year deal, comes into a situation for the Texans where as long as he plays the way he by and large did with the Jaguars, he'll be just fine at left tackle for the Texans.
Yep.
And by that point, hopefully the Texans feel good and solid about Blake Fisher. Tytus Howard will likely still be here. And Cam Robinson can go get more money elsewhere. So that's the kind of environment you hope you have, is that guys like Cam Robinson think, okay, well, if I got to choose and if I'm not getting the deal I want out there, then, all right, I'm going to spend a year with the Texans.
I think Cam Robinson looks at a guy like George Fant. I think Trent Brown looks at a guy. Trent Brown looks at a guy like George Fant. George Fant came in here as a camp body and left as a competent starting right tackle who went, and now granted he got cut after 1 year, but he got some nice guaranteed money from the Seahawks last year that he otherwise wouldn't have gotten had he not played right tackle for the Texans for a year.
Well, and then where you get the real benefit from it, if it works out and you get that kind of reputation, is then you get guys like Sheldon Rankins who come in, plays well, you like him, he goes off and gets more money for the Bengals. The Bengals will overpay because of his glow-up year with the Texans. And then after the Bengals think, oh, man, we paid too much, they're like, come on back, Sheldon. We'll wash, rinse, repeat all over again.
It's like the Texans are a gym, and Sheldon Rankins came and got shredded 1 year at the gym. And then he just stopped showing up. I'm like, oh, man, I wonder whatever happened to that guy, Sheldon. And then a year later, he shows up. He's all out of shape again. He came back here to get shredded again.
You know what we are?
What?
We're prison muscles. We're guys that get all built up in prison.
Yeah.
But then when they leave prison and they lose that discipline or they get a little distracted by other stuff, they don't look the same.
That's right.
By and large, most guys don't maintain their prison muscles.
So Sheldon Rankins went and intentionally got himself arrested.
That's
so
right. You get yourself, sometimes you miss the joint, man. Sometimes I'm just like, I just need, there's times, Sean, where I'm like, I liked the structure.
Yeah.
You know?
Shawshank.
And I've got good enough leadership skills that I was kind of a big shot in the joint, you know?
Right.
I had my little schemes going and everything. I had which guards I needed to get on
Rankins.
My side and everything. Yeah.
That's Sheldon Rankins. That's what he is. Russell Wilson signs with the Giants. 1 year, $21 million. I don't know what the Giants are doing at quarterback. They've got the third overall pick. They're sitting there right in position to get a guy. They've got Russell Wilson and Jameis Winston. God, please, Giants, put out content from behind the scenes with these two, like Russell Wilson and Jameis Winston.
It feels like sometimes you'd hear with Jameis Winston and Ryan Fitzpatrick. That was a fun dynamic.
Yeah.
And Ryan Fitzpatrick seemed to really enjoy Jameis Winston. He really seemed to get a kick out of him. And we did get some clips. Did they have Hard Knocks that year? I can't remember. But there were some good moments between Ryan Fitzpatrick and Jameis Winston. I don't know, though.
Russ.
Ryan Fitzpatrick has a personality where Russell Wilson doesn't quite have a personality. We're not even exactly sure yet whether he's a human being.
If he has one,
or
it's
a Clockwork
annoying.
Orange.
Yeah, if he has a personality, it's an annoying one. Boy, if he's the starting quarterback and they get off to a 1-5 start in New York, highly likely, by the way. God, they're going to eat him up. Oh my God, Russell Wilson. All right, that's the big news in the NFL yesterday. The two big signings, Russell Wilson and Stephon Diggs. It's like
just remember
2019 all over again.
When the Broncos played the Texans at NRG a couple years ago, I was sitting up in the stands just doing some work, and when Russell Wilson walked in, and he was carrying a briefcase, you know, wearing a suit. It looked like he had a couple of his own staffers with him, no teammates around him. And I sent a picture to my brother who lives in Denver, a picture of Russell Wilson walking in, and it ruined my brother's day.
Not a fan.
He hated Russell Wilson so much.
That's funny. All right, let's get to
the briefcase just did it. That's what pushed him over the edge.
Well, that and he had his own office, like the whole thing, you know?
It was everything, yeah.
All right, we'll get to headlines next. Cam Smith makes the squad. Rockets get a win last night. We'll recap some of the things going on in the NFL. We do it in headlines at 6:45 every day. That's coming up next.
Payne and Pendergast with today's headlines.
All right, let's get to headlines. A big one, Cam Smith, as has been forecasted throughout this week, he will be a Houston Astro. He does not get to experience any of the nightlife of Corpus Christi. He can head down to Sugarland if he wants to and experience that nightlife. It's very
That's
easy
true.
To do. Yeah.
Yeah.
From here. But he doesn't need to go to Constellation Field for any reason. His workplace will be Daikin Park this year. God, I'm getting good at actually calling it by the correct name. We'll see how long that lasts. Thanks, Seth. Appreciate you. But Cam, in all candor here, Cam Smith making the team. This is a really big deal. This is something that if you had bet this heading into spring training, not only Cam Smith would be on the big league roster, not only that he would be in the opening day lineup, but that he would be in the opening day lineup in right field, a position he's never played before, with Jose Altuve playing left field. We can't ignore that. In the excitement of Cam Smith making this team, this is an outfield that starting tomorrow is going to have two guys playing positions in the outfield that they've never played at the major league level before.
You know, you take any game from last year and then fast forward to right now with Cam Smith in right field. You've got Jose Altuve in left field. You've got Paredes at third base. Mm-hmm. You've got Walker at first base. You might have Wisniewski pitching at some point.
Yeah.
There's been a whole lot of change, and it felt like it. Yeah, this is an offseason. I was trying to figure out or assess whether, like, wow, things are even more different than I thought. No, you've swapped out on any given day about half of your guys – might be somebody completely different.
Yeah.
Including Lance McCullers.
Yeah.
If Lance McCullers starts.
We'll see. We'll see, Well, and even second base. I mean, you mentioned Altuve's in left field. That leaves a hole at second base. It might be Brendan Rodgers on any given day if he makes the team, you know. So there's a lot of change. Look, I think Dana Brown's done a nice job so far in his 2 years as the GM, I think. You know, given he was handed a team that had just won the World Series but was losing a guy a year, it felt like. You had Jose Abreu's contract you had to deal with. And I think Dana Brown's done a nice job of keeping the team competitive. The Kyle Tucker trade, at least at the moment, one spring training in, looks like a really good deal for the Astros, so kudos to him.
Taking over a team that's nearing the end of its championship window, or at least what looks like the end of a championship window, is a really hard position to be in. It's like being named the CEO of Kodak the year after digital cameras came out. Yeah. Hey, Mom, I'm the Blockbuster. I'm the CEO of Blockbuster. And she's like, oh, great, honey. I'm so excited for these next coming years. Yeah. Good luck getting favorable lease terms.
And she immediately goes back to watching a movie on her phone. as her
hold on, honey. I need to pause my Netflix.
That's right. So good for Cam Smith. There was a video the team put up of him finding out the news. They marched his family into the clubhouse to share the news with him. It was a very emotional scene. It's getting more mixed reviews on the text page than it was on Twitter. By and large, I was surprised. Like, at least what was getting fed to me on Twitter were people talking about how cool it was. Just, I'll read one text, and I think this captures some of the people. Some people on here think it's pretty cool as well. And obviously, the moment itself is really cool. It's about the capturing of the moment, it being in front of the clubhouse, and the team making it this big public display. Text message. Yeah, that move for Cam was cheesy at best. The manager pulling that crap brought back memories of the Texans wearing Letterman jackets and made the guy look like a kid. The Astros' lack of grown-ups in the organization is a problem. That's a little far, I think.
But lack of grown-ups in the organization. That's an interesting one. Yeah. No, and I understand. It was different. It was just different than anything you've seen, including NCAA football videos where guys get their scholarship. That's more of a, they dogpile the guy or everybody's cheering or anything.
Yep.
This was drawn out and emotional in a way to where it almost felt like I was watching something I shouldn't be watching.
Yeah.
Because you can hear Cam Smith crying and there's just silence in the clubhouse for... It felt like, I don't know, am I overestimating, 3 hours and 47 minutes?
It did. It was only about 40 seconds.
It felt like forever. Yeah.
I'm 100% with you on how... Now, look, I'm over the moon happy for him and his family. I think it's great. I guess the thing about the video, too, would be, you know, the scholarship videos that you point out, Seth, walk-on getting a scholarship. These are serious underdog stories. Cam Smith's not an underdog. Like, he was an underdog to make the team out of spring training. He was going to be on the big league roster at some point. You know,
he's a first round pick.
Way to make it in April instead of June.
I know that, boy, these first round signing bonuses aren't what they used to be, what with inflation and what have you.
Yeah.
And, you finally made it. All right.
Okay. I mean, I think people, especially the skeptics about the video, I don't think there's anybody out there that's skeptical about him as a future big league ball player. I think it's just there's a cringe factor to the video, and I think that gets worse if he gets off to a slow start. Like, what, you know, if he gets off to a start like Bregman got off to when he became a big league ball player. Bregman started out 1-for-30 or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and especially if the Astros aren't winning games, are the cynics going to be like, man, what were you guys doing back when he made the team? This, like, in retrospect. Anyways, happy. I think you and I are both excited about.
Yeah, I'm really excited.
Video aside,
about it.
We probably spent too much time on the video. But Cam Smith makes the team. He's going to start in right field. Don't know where he's batting in the batting order, but I guess somewhere near the middle of it. That's where I'd put him. Rockets beat the Hawks last night, 121-114. This is a pretty routine win for the Rockets. They got behind early. They built up a double digit lead and they kind of cruised in against the team. You know, the Hawks made a little run late in the game. Jalen Green, 32 points.
And looking like a machine.
Yeah.
Like, Jalen Green, 32 points, but it was It was an attacking, slashing, impressive 32 points.
It was. And so the Rockets maintain their spot as the 2 seed right now in the Western Conference. Later in the show, we'll take a run at some of the teams they could be playing. Power rank those by how much fun the series would be. We'll do that a little later in the show. NFL news that we touched on in the previous segment. We'll hit it here again, though. Stephon Diggs, he is a New England Patriot. And he signs a 3-year, $69 million deal that has $26 million guaranteed. Those are the reports. So I think even the guaranteed money felt a little high, certainly a little high for where the Texans are playing in free agency this year. They've not been swimming in the 3-year, $69 million pool when it comes to signing guys, other than Derek Stingley Jr. and Danielle Hunter, you know, guys that they're you know keeping and extending. I think the most interesting thing about this Diggs thing, Seth, with respect to the Patriots, this will likely be the first time that Stephon Diggs has played for a losing team in years and years. I don't know if he ever has. He was drafted by the Vikings. I don't know that the Vikings were ever a bottom-feeding team while he was there. I mean, they were in the playoffs with Case Keenum and Kirk Cousins. And then he goes to Buffalo, where they were a playoff team every year. Comes to the Texans. They were a playoff team and a good team last year. They were 6-2 while he was healthy. Stephon Diggs operating on a team that might be a 5-12 football team this year, and see if you get the good version of Diggs is something that's intriguing to me.
Well, we'll see. You know, they're not a losing team yet, Sean.
That's true.
Mr. Negative Nelly.
Sorry.
The biggest thing, I think, that aside from the fact that Stephon Diggs conducted himself like a model teammate, we just saw zero of the drama, including while the offense was struggling, it's that C.J. Stroud was markedly different when Stephon Diggs was on the team versus when he was not. Okay. I mean, you look at some of the numbers. The first 8 games with Diggs, 66.5 completion percentage. Last part of it, 9 games, 59.8%. Mm. I mean, 11 touchdowns to 4 interceptions with Diggs, 9 touchdowns to 8 interceptions without Diggs.
Nice.
Especially on a team like the Patriots or last year's Texans, where the offensive line was really struggling and the pass protection was bad. It's really nice to have a guy you can get open fast underneath.
That's him.
And it gives you that element in the quick game. And they obviously there are other things going on in the second half of the season too, but Diggs at the very least, even though he wasn't obviously the answer to make it a good offense last year, he made it a lot better for CJ than it was without him.
Yep. All right, those are your headlines. Russell Wilson signs with the Giants 1 year, $21 million. You got Russell Wilson and Jameis Winston on the same team. That's interesting. Up next, we'll circle back to the Astros. Cam Smith era beginning. We'll hear from Cam Smith. If you haven't heard the back and forth he had with the media, it's pretty good stuff. It's a really good story. It's the big story of the day here. Also, a little later on in the 7 o'clock hour, Wade Smith. He was on Texans radio last week. I thought laid out the situation with the offensive line this season, this past season with the Texans, perfectly. Maybe better than anybody I've heard lay it out. So we'll have that for you in the 7 o'clock hour as well.